Hi, and welcome to the Lunchbox Podcast. I'm Andy Brown, and joining me today is somebody who worked for over 10 years in the NHS before getting a job in clinical research. She's thrived there, and now she's an author. I can't believe it. Actually, a close personal friend of mine, the lovely Jo Fenton.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, and thanks for coming on. I have to say, when I was working out a shortlist of people I could ask to help me out on this, author friend was very near the top of the list, I'm not going to lie.
Excellent.
Jo, tell us a little bit about your journey there. What brought you to become a writer?
Oh, goodness. So for many, many years, probably all my life, I've been a bit of a Dolly Daydream, and I've had stories going around in my head for as long as I can remember, which probably makes me sound a bit weird, but there you go. And then about, I'll tell you when it was. It was October 2011. We saw on Breakfast TV, they were talking about National Novel Writing Month, which is held in November every year, and where the idea is that you write a 50,000 word novel in a month, and then you try and get it published. So my lovely husband, Ray, said, well, why don't you do it? And I was like, oh, okay. So, that's how the idea was born. And obviously, I've had quite a long journey since then.
So what happened with that original 50,000 word novel? Is that what went on to become The Brotherhood, which is your first book?
Yeah, vaguely. For a start, in that November, I think I wrote about 20,000 words and then spent much of the next year writing sort of to get towards about 50,000 before starting again and actually learning about what I was supposed to be doing. So I think 2013, I joined a writing group and learnt about the craft of writing. And as I say, I started to actually begin to learn some of the skills that are needed to write properly. So yes, it was that November was the start of the Brotherhood, but it's changed out of pretty much all recognition. There's still a religious sect and there is still an abbey and the lead characters have not changed. But other than that, it's pretty unrecognizable from that first draft, I'm pleased to say.
So that was the core that remained. And your first book came out just over a year ago. I think it was 2018.
Yeah, it was July 25th.
And you've just recently released your second book.
I have, yes. It came out at the end of May and is a sequel.
So it's The Refuge and it carries on almost immediately after The Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it.
So, as you say, it begins almost immediately. I'm going to be very careful because I don't want to give away any spoilers. But there are hints throughout, or not even hints, there are mentions a few times throughout The Brotherhood about Melissa's long-lost sister, Jessica, Jess, who was abducted when she was 10 years old. And at the beginning of The Refuge, Jess escapes from her abductors and she turns up at the Abbey. And as you can imagine, this causes all sorts of problems.
So, no more spoilers, because I'm only about three chapters in at the moment.
Oh, okay. Definitely no more spoilers.
But I can definitely recommend it. So the idea of the Lunchbox podcast is, it's minimal effort for me. Is you know me well, Jo. What I'm going to do is you're going to be asked 8 random questions. You're going to choose which ones you want, and you're going to do that by giving me a number between 1 and 64. In front of me, I've got a soundboard. I've randomised all the numbers, so the number that you give me, I'll press a button, and it'll ask you a question. How does that sound?
Brilliant.
Okay, let's crack on. Right, so Jo, give us your first number today.
So first number today will be 25, as that's the date my first book got published. So.
Okay, here we go. Do you personally change the oil in your car?
No. I do as little as possible. I very occasionally check it. Very occasionally. But no, that's as far as I go.
I suppose the question is, are you a practical person?
Am I a practical person? No. No, I'm very good at dealing with all the little bits and pieces that come through that need dealing with on the computer. So, you know, if there's like insurance changes to be done or kind of practical things like switching my British Gas, stuff like that, I'm great. anything that actually involves hands-on, no. I tried once to redecorate our downstairs loo, and suffice to say, we had to get a decorator in very soon after because it was a complete disaster. I didn't have too much wallpaper falling on my head, but I'll leave the rest to your imagination.
You go, my wife and I have just done our first wallpapering. 10 years of marriage, we've just done our first wallpapering this weekend.
Congratulations.
We're still married as well, so I assume that's a success.
That's a good sign. My husband left me to it, which is possibly the mistake.
Okay, so what's your next number then, Joe?
The next number will be 28, because that's the date The Refuge got published.
Okay. If you had to run away from everyone, where would you hide?
Oh, that's a very good question. How far am I allowed to run? Yeah,
anywhere you want. Budget, resources, there's no restriction.
Oh, fantastic. Well, in that case, I would run away to Southampton, get on a cruise ship, and I would go to somewhere really nice and interesting. Best cruise cabin I could afford. And I'd go and hide away on a cruise ship.
Why a cruise ship?
I love being able to visit lots of different places at once without having to unpack and repack my bags. And I love the entertainment, and there's plenty of chance to chat to people and yet remain anonymous, which I quite like. I'm a very sociable person, but also quite reserved. So it's nice to be able to chat to lots of people and then know that you'll probably never see them again. which is kind of interesting.
So touching on that, Joe, you work in clinical research. Yes. I know the job you do because I've done that job, and it can involve a lot of travel. It strikes me as a bit of a dichotomy because I imagine that you love the travelling aspect, but there's a lot about that role that you can't be anonymous in, because you part of the job is to go in and actually evaluate things that other people are doing. So how does that sit with you?
Yeah, I mean, I also love chatting to people, full stop, whether anonymous or not, really. So it's great going round to the hospitals and, you know, building up those relationships, which, to be honest, without those relationships, you never get anything done, because there is a lot of going in and saying, we really need this to be done like yesterday, and please, can you do it like immediately? I know you've got sort of 6,000 other things to do, but please just prioritize this because I'm asking you to. And to do that, to actually get them to do that, you really need to sort of build up a good relationship. So I really enjoy that aspect of it, and getting to use, I suppose, a bit of charm, really, but also professionalism to get them to do what I need them to do, really. So it's good fun.
Okay, thank you very much. Will you give me another number, please?
15.
Why have you chosen 15?
Because on the 15th of October, I finished writing The Brotherhood, and I also ran half a marathon. So
a big day then.
Quite a big day for me.
If you had 6 hours to prepare everything you needed to survive for 1 year on a deserted island, what would you choose?
My Kindle.
Yeah, okay.
Laptop.
Power on this deserted island then, is there?
Oh, several power banks. Charged. I suppose, failing that, I would need lots of exercise books to write in. Because if I was going to be on a deserted island for a long time, I would hope to get quite a few books out of it, really, because I'd have a lot of writing to do. I suppose some practicality is going to need to be thrown in there, isn't it? And I'm going to need to actually take some things that are going to help me survive. So probably a survival book, and which I would read in the first hour so that I would know what to take in the next 5 hours. So I'd be able to do a bit of scrummaging around. I've not got a huge amount of survival skills, really. I've not watched enough of Bear Grylls to really know what I should be taking. Yeah, I think I'd be pretty rubbish, actually. I think I'd need to take someone with me. Yeah, can I take someone with me who's really good at that sort of stuff?
You've got 6 hours. Who can you find? I'm not going to disallow it.
I'm in a group of fantastic women who do running, hiking, and all sorts of amazing things like that. And two of the ladies in my group have just walked sort of the ultra sort of marathon Jurassic Coast last weekend. And they are absolutely, totally awesome ladies. I just want to give them a plug because they're just fantastic. Sue Tickle and Sandra Powers. They are brilliant ladies. And I'd like to take them both with me because they're fantastic. And they'd help me survive in the wild.
Okay, so Sue and Sandra.
Yes. And they'd also be good company as well. I think that's it really. So people who know what they're doing, lots of books, lots of exercise books I can write, and probably some chocolate.
I have this lovely vision of you popping around, grabbing Sue and Sandra, and then spending the next 5 hours just flicking through your library, working out what you want to take while they work out all the survivalism.
Yeah, something like that. Delegation.
Oh, that's brilliant. Okay, and can you give me another number then, Joe?
Oh, 13, just because it's my birthday.
Have you ever been on a boat?
Yes.
There's kind of boat-heavy theme for you this week, isn't it?
There is, really, yes. I have been on a few cruises, which is why I know I love them. I've also been on a number of ferries, which I hate. Me and ferries don't go very well together. I tend to go quite green and throw up quite a lot. So, yeah, not fond of ferries. I like small boats, sort of, you know, being out, if you go out on the Med or, you know, Caribbean or somewhere lovely and you get a chance to go out on a little boat and nice little boat trip with a bit of music and drinks and stuff and get to go snorkeling and things off the boat. That's, you know, that's my idea of a really lovely chilled out day.
So Joe, how much writing are you typically doing in your average week now then? Because, you know, you've got a, I'm assuming this isn't your full-time thing now?
No, I'm still monitoring. So, my ideal is to write for half an hour to an hour every day, but it doesn't happen. In practice, I might get sort of, you know, 2 to 3 hours a week done. The last couple of weeks, because I've been sort of promoting my book, I've hardly done any writing and I really need to get back to it because I've got a deadline to get the next one written. So really need to crack on. But yeah, about 2 or 3 hours a week, probably on a sort of fairly average, typical week.
And again, what's the promotion been like? Because, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier about the, you know, your love of anonymity, but also meeting and talking to people.
Yes.
How's that been?
It's great when I have the confidence to sit and chat to people on trains. And sometimes the book kind of comes up naturally in the conversation. Sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it sort of comes up a little bit more forced, but it's okay in the end. So yeah, I've managed to sort of every now and again, I'll manage to persuade someone on a train to buy my book. If it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. I'm not all that fussed about it. Realistically, the promotion is online. It's far more organized marketing, really. So I use various social media sites and also sort of promotional websites to spread the word, really, because, you know, just can't do it. Can't do it all by myself. There's no kind of magic formula, unfortunately. I had this wonderful idea when I first started that, you know, people were going to read my book. They were going to love it. They were all going to tell all their friends and all their friends were going to tell all their friends. And it was going to have this lovely ripple effect. And I got as far as everyone I knew reading it and loving it. That was great. But then telling their friends may have happened, but not all the friends then kind of picked it up. Or probably even listened, you know. So it's just kind of, you kind of get to that sort of like full stop. And as I say, you then have to sort of rely on more professional marketing strategies, really. So yeah, I'm kind of working on that aspect. I do have the audiobook coming out for the Brotherhood, hopefully later this summer. And that will get significant marketing support from the audiobook publisher. So I'm really looking forward to that because I found that marketing is not really my my forte.
Tell me about the audiobook then. Are you going to be reading it, or is there
no auditioning? I've been going through auditions. A narrator has been selected, but obviously until she actually signs the contract, I can't give you any names.
Are they famous? Will we know them?
I don't know. Possibly not. She's done quite a few audiobooks before. So so possibly if you have to have read one of her audiobooks, then maybe, as I say, I will be announcing it on social media as soon as I can.
That must be really, really exciting then, the kind of the next phase.
Yes, it's incredible. Actually, just listening to the auditions, hearing someone say, "This is The Brotherhood by Joe Fenton." I'm like, "Oh, wow, that's me."
Right then, Joe, let's get back to some questions. Can you give me another number, please?
7.
What's the best concert you've ever attended?
Wow. I've attended some really brilliant ones, actually. One of the most recent brilliant ones I've attended, because I've got really bad memory, is Tom O'Dell. I went to see him at the Apollo in Manchester a few months back. And all I knew really of his music were like maybe 3 songs. And I'd listened to him a little bit on Spotify, but didn't really know much about him. And I went along to this concert and it blew me away. It was absolutely fantastic. And I now have his songs going around on a continuous loop on my phone. I just listen to it all the time. So yeah, absolutely amazing. Loved it to bits.
I always find those ones you don't really know as well can be some of the best ones, because I saw Snow Patrol and Elbow, not together, that would have been quite a line, both at the First Direct Arena. And it's on both occasions, I went at the last minute with friends who had a spare ticket.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I know like one of their songs. Had a brilliant night and got into the music afterwards.
Yes. Yeah.
But went in with just like, oh, well, as long as they play that one song, I know, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. We did something similar with Glastonbury. We went to Glastonbury in 2010, and it was sort of, loads and loads of bands that I kind of knew a little bit and loads that I didn't know at all. And we went to see some just totally fantastic sets that were just brilliant. And you just kind of, again, sort of blew me away. You just think, oh my goodness, I sort of have to sort of download all their stuff. One of them that Ray kind of dragged me to, because he'd heard about them on, just on some kind of news article or something, that they'd won this kind of award or whatever, was Disraeli and the Small Gods. And I mean, the reason they appealed so much to me is because a lot of their music is about stories. So any music that's kind of based on stories is going to sort of capture me, really, because I love stories. But it just, yeah, they just totally blew me away. Fantastic. I laughed, I cried. I was just held spellbound for the whole set. It was brilliant.
Good stuff, Ryan. Thank you. So can I have another number, please?
3.
Why 3? You've been good at telling me why.
I know, they're coming out randomly now.
All right. What is the best animal? There you go. What's the best animal?
The best animal. Giraffes. I love giraffes. Actually, I love pretty much all animals, to be honest. But we went to Blackpool Zoo recently. Ray and I had been given a zookeeper for a day experience.
What? No, you can't. You can't just skim over that.
It was fantastic. That needs explaining. It was actually Ray's a big birthday present for Ray. And we looked around, we looked at Chester and we looked at Blackpool. And Chester allowed one person to spend a whole day with one animal. You get to choose the animal. And Blackpool allow you to do sort of one or two people. So obviously we went for both of us because, well, yeah, why not share it and enjoy it, both enjoy it. And you get to go around lots of different animals. And it was just brilliant. So
like a zookeeping buffet.
It was exactly like a zookeeping buffet. And I would so highly recommend it. It was totally amazing. So we saw elephants, although you didn't actually, obviously because of health and safety, and even the zookeepers don't actually go in with the elephants. It's very much a hands-off and sort of let them be in their kind of natural habitat and natural behaviours with the elephants. So, yeah, we kind of stood behind the line with the elephants, so we didn't get to pet those. But with the giraffes, we actually got to feed them. So we were feeding them bits of cabbage and carrot and stuff. And they've got the most amazing, like, long, slimy black tongues. It's really weird. But, yeah, you're kind of, like, putting food on their tongue and they're just kind of, like, roll up their tongue and kind of take it into the mouth. It's just fantastic. So I love the giraffes, but we saw some fabulous we saw sea lions as well. They were wonderful too. Yeah, I love so many different types of animals, it's hard to say. And I've got a lovely dog as well, a lovely corgi. He was beautiful. So
well, that is a comprehensive answer to what is essentially a ludicrous question. Well done. I just want to go on a zookeeper buffet now. And it's making me hungry. So, thank you. Okay, so can I have your next number, please?
12.
Have you ever been on television or radio?
Ah.
I have been on radio. In January, I got invited to be on Drystone Radio, which is a community radio station in...
Drystone?
I have no idea where Drystone is. It's based in Keighley. Cowley, actually, in Yorkshire. And I got interviewed for 2 hours by the fabulous David Driver on the Writer's Bookshelf programme.
Wow, okay.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, so I got to do a playlist and everything of my music for the Brotherhood. And it was just awesome. It was really exciting.
Name us some of the tracks then that you you put together for the Brotherhood.
Okay, so Torn by Natalie Imbruglia.
Okay.
There was Jesus He Knows Me by Genesis, for fairly obvious reasons for anyone who's read the Brotherhood. I also chose Depeche Mode song, and I'm just trying to remember which one it was.
It's got to be Personal Jesus, right?
Yes, it was. Thank you. Yeah. I was just like completely blanked for a minute then. And Losing My Religion by REM. I'm not sure if that one actually got played in the end because we kind of ran out of time. Because as you've noticed, I talk a lot. So I created a playlist of 10 and I think we kind of played about 6. So,
I hope Killing in the Name Of was in there.
No. Oh, Name of the Game by ABBA.
Oh, that is a massive tonal shift, isn't it?
Yeah, just a slight shift on that. But yeah, oh goodness, I can't remember the others. I've completely blanked.
And how did you find the interview? What was it like?
It was great. It was really exciting to kind of get in there and see how it was run. I mean, they've got, you know, everything is all lined up on the, you know, on the computer screen, and they have it all set up and they sort of move things across and then sort of, you know, chatting sort of David, who's kind of across from me on the microphone, and, you know, and it was really good fun, and he put me at ease, and he was just brilliant. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Great experience.
And on that note, can I have your final number, please, Joe?
Goodness, have we got to 8 already?
I know, right?
Let's have a higher number this time and go for 49.
If you could run a country for a day, what country would you choose and what would you do?
Wow.
Seize power, Joe. Seize power. Take control.
I would put everything to rights. Actually, I'll tell you what I would do. I would run the US and I'd take everyone's guns away from them.
Just one day. That's it. Absolute revolution.
Yep.
I can see the NRA not liking this one.
No. maybe that's a bit radical. Maybe I should go for something a bit smaller and, I don't know, go for Luxembourg and kind of, you know, arrange for a bonfire night or something.
I mean, it's a bold opening gambit, I'm not going to lie. You've got one day, you might as well do something that's going to have some impact.
So, yeah, I'll go with my first answer. Let's be radical.
And this is why we love you, Joe. Under what is possibly the nicest friendliest, calmest exterior to a person I've ever met, there is this deep vein of just absolute anarchy.
I like to surprise people.
Calmest, nicest person I've ever met, and she writes dark books about... go out and read The Brotherhood, go out and read The Refuge. They are brilliant books. I can't recommend them more highly. Joe, tell us where people can find them.
Amazon, in short. So yeah, just if you type my name easily, that's the easiest way of doing it. Type Joe Fenton into Amazon search bar and they will appear very close to the top because there's only one Joe Fenton.
It's a good author name. And if anybody wants to find you on social media, how can they do that?
I am on Facebook under Joe Fenton. I am on Twitter under JL Fenton. I have a blog, which is www.joefenton137.com, which has got all my other social media links. So if all you remember is joefenton137.com, that will bring me up very quickly, and then you can find everything else from there.
I've got to ask, why joefenton137?
That's my birthday.
Of course it is. I knew that. Puts the note in his diary to go out and buy a present. Joe, thanks for coming on today. Really, really appreciate it. It's been lovely having you here and really great fun.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you. Right. If you want to get involved in the Lunchbox podcast, maybe you want to come on as a guest, maybe you want to suggest some questions, you can do that by tweeting us or getting in touch with us on social media. It's at Lunchbox Podcast. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode. Until then, bye.